Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe, the Tennessee Volunteers make a move with their coaching staff yesterday. Tim Banks, defensive coordinator, fired by Josh Heupel. Now, we talked about that in the immediate aftermath of the Vanderbilt game, right? How Tennessee fans were looking for some changes. Josh Heupel said that he was going to evaluate everything, and they have now made the decision to move on from Tim Banks. Now, that move by itself, Joe, well-received by Tennessee fans. We'll see who they end up hiring as their defensive coordinator. But, Joe, what do you make of, number one, the move to fire Tim Banks and the fact that Heupel actually did it? And what does that signal to you about maybe what the offseason could look like for Tennessee? What does the approach look like, not only to the coaching staff, but maybe the roster heading into next year? How do you view this decision from Josh Heupel to move on from Tim Banks?
Well, I think that most Tennessee fans like this just in terms of knowing that he's not just going to stand pat no matter what, right? And because there are coaches who I think go too far with the loyalty thing. There's also coaches who constantly are changing people out and basically sacrificing people to save themselves, you know. And I'm not saying that's what this is, but I think Tennessee fans like this in terms of, okay, there's some accountability. I mean, I also look at it and it's like, so last year, the defense carried Tennessee to the playoff. They were tremendous. Same coordinator and a sort of a steady build to that 2024 defense, which was just really salty and a really excellent defense. And so now the guy's stupid all of a sudden. He doesn't, you know. But, hey, look, they were bad this year. And the corners, I do think were a big part of it, but they were bad. So is this going to be a big, like, are they going to bring someone in? Can whoever they bring in? I know there's a lot of smoke around Walters, the Washington D.C. Is he going to come in are they going to have a defense better than last year's? Because that's actually a pretty high bar. Tim Banks 2024 defense. Are they going to change their style significantly? I mean, there are some things with Tennessee's defense over the years that, you know, I haven't loved in terms of some of the zone stuff and sitting back on some things.
Yes.
I feel like, but I think last year with those corners, you saw more aggression because you could play that way. So, I get it. I don't know that it's going to be some magical fix.
The thing that I couldn't really get over with the defense this year, and I understand the corners were out, you know, getting beat in the passing game as much as they did. I mean, you can kind of, it's explainable, right? Like, you could live with that. I mean, the other part of this is, you know, half the season you were playing a guy out there that I had no idea if there was any interest in him actually playing or not, in Boo Carter. So there's that you've got to factor in. And, you know, they switched him in and out, but when he was out there, it wasn't very good. But the thing I couldn't really get over with this year's Tennessee defense, and you can blame this, I guess, a little bit on the corners being out if you want, but they're horrible at stopping the run. Just awful at it. And, like, they should not have been that bad against the run based on their personnel. Like, I would agree that the personnel was not as good as it was in 2024. And one of the strengths of the 2024 defense, I mean, heck, the strength of the 2024 defense, is that they could roll about three deep on every one of the positions up front, on the front four. I mean, they had multiple guys, and they were fresh the entire game, and they weren't that deep this year when it came to the defensive line and an edge rusher. So,
and they had injuries up there too.
Exactly.
I mean, beyond the corners, they were banged up front.
So, I mean, some of it, I guess, is explainable that way. But even then, like, with guys they had in, they should not be giving up 300 yards on the ground to Arkansas and 300 yards on the ground to Vanderbilt. I know Pavi is a big part of it, but you can't just do that and expect that things are going to remain the same. So, I think that's what it was. Like, I think they were so bad against the run this year, I think that's what cost him his job.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's, Yeah, it's hard to understand, even with everything. That's just something you sort of expected. You certainly didn't expect it to go as badly as it did. I do give a little more grace on the Vanderbilt game just because, yeah, it's a really tough offense to deal with. But there was still some tackling stuff, you know, that was bad in that game too, you know. And I think linebacker play this year was also, it just was pretty disappointing overall. Mike says, Tim Banks didn't become a bad defense coordinator 1 year. Injuries killed the defense. But Mr. Clock Management was not going to fire himself. Tim Banks was a guy. Yeah. Yeah, it's a thing. If you want to talk about, like, coaching, like, mistakes or poor coaching, you probably point to some of the game management stuff Heupel did this year as bad as anything. But, yeah, the head coach is definitely not firing himself.
No, he is not. Now, I think big picture, the fascinating question here beyond just the move at defensive coordinator is, what does this signal about what the offseason could look like? Because we've talked about this, like, on paper right now, Tennessee's got a pretty good team coming back. And then you, by the way, the recruiting went very well for them last week, like even better than expected. So you've got a really good recruiting class coming in. You've got some talented guys already on the roster that will be coming back. And we've talked about, you know, quarterback. What does it mean? Like, how are you going to approach quarterback if you're Heupel? Are you going with one of the young guys? Like, if you're going with either a redshirt freshman in George McIntyre or a true freshman in Faison Brandon? Or do you go out and look in the portal and bring in an experienced guy at quarterback to take the reins and be the starter next year? I don't know. We'll see on that front. I'm interested to see what else could be coming here in terms of how aggressive is Tennessee going to be? I think that's the fundamental question. Like, how aggressive is Tennessee going to be in the offseason when it comes to the portal, their roster, who they're trying to retain, what they're doing at quarterback? I don't know that the Tim Banks move signals that either way, but I think it does show you, Joe, that they're not just going to try to roll it back next year.
Yeah, and that's right, and that's the thing. It's like some kind of indication that this wasn't acceptable and that you're trying to, you know, you're looking for solutions. We'll see if this ends up being a solution, but I get that fans wanted to see something and didn't want to just see everything just run back. And yeah, the portal is going to be really interesting. Do they do more in it this year? You know, they have recruited well, and that's great. And that's what most of these programs here in this tournament right now, most of them, not all of them, but most of them are still built around excellent high school recruiting year after year with supplementing in the portal. Some of them are heavy, heavy portal. But I think Tennessee can do more. And, yeah, like you talk about the quarterback thing, Sam Levitt, there's a guy who is going to be very heavily pursued coming out of Arizona State. And, well, I was going to say he could do well in this offense. I think he could do well in a lot of offenses. But there'd be an example of – it's just like, I don't know. It's just hard for – I don't know, man. It's really interesting. Like, do you try to go big like that? Do you just try to get, like, a veteran who would be okay being your backup, possibly? Right. Or just to get into a competition? Or do you just straight up go with the young guys?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, to me, Joe, it kind of feels like with quarterback, in terms of the starter, you're either going big with one of those, like a Levitt-type guy, or you're rolling it with McIntyre or Brandon. Like, I don't know that I see them going and getting like an Aguilar again. And no disrespect to Aguilar, but like Aguilar's not like a top guy that people are talking about maybe being a high NFL pick one day. Like, to me, that's what you're doing if you're Tennessee. You're either going all in and trying to get one of those guys in the portal, or you're probably rolling it with one of the kids.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think that makes sense. And if you go big, you know, then it's like, I mean, I guess to me, it's like if you go big, then McIntyre is probably the guy who's like, okay, deuces, right?
Probably. I mean, it just depends. If you're going big, it's probably for a guy that's going to be there for 1 year, right? I mean, so probably still, because McIntyre just sat a year, and he probably wants to go play. And then you look over your shoulder if you're here and you're like, well, Faison Brandon's behind me too. So
right.
Probably. But, I mean, I do think there's a chance that they could get away with it for another year of a veteran guy who's only going to be here 1 year.
And then that would be, I mean, obviously that's best case scenario that if you can get someone like that and it's a perfect fit, and then you can just convince McIntyre and Brandon to have their competition for 2026.
Yeah.
I mean, but then it's like,
the more you talk about, okay, the tougher of a sell it sounds, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and if you're both of their camps, it's like, okay, and then you're not going to the portal next year?
Right.
Are you sure about this? Like, at what point do we get a chance? I mean, it's like Ty Simpson in Alabama hung in there, you know, and it worked out well for all parties, but you know, that more often than not, the guy in that situation ends up somewhere else pretty quickly.
615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. An update in the Philip Rivers conversation as it relates to the Indianapolis Colts. We'll get back into that coming up next. Take your thoughts on the Titans as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Preds fans, Smashville Live, returning tomorrow night at 6 o'clock on 1025 The Game. Live from Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue. Meet your Preds star players up close and personal. Tomorrow, Luke Evangelista and Nick Blankenberg will be the guests. Tomorrow night at Brewhouse 100 in Bellevue, and only on 1025 The Game. Joe, we mentioned Philip Rivers earlier in the show. It was reported last night that the Colts, after losing Daniel Jones on Sunday, looking for some help at quarterback, and that Philip Rivers would be going through a workout. Now, that was originally reported that the workout was supposed to take place today. Apparently, it took place last night. So, Philip Rivers did his workout with the Colts last night. Jeremy Fowler put it out there that he threw the ball well. So, we will see what happens next on that front. Diana Russini adding that no deal has been reached yet between the Colts and Philip Rivers. But apparently, the workout went well last night. He threw the ball around at the age of 44 for the Indianapolis Colts. Has not played in the NFL since 2020. Joe, what do you make of old man River, no pun intended, maybe some pun intended, coming back in the NFL?
Crybaby Rivers.
There we go.
Yeah, I may have to become a Colts fan. Indy Ben, step aside, buddy. Maybe I'll make some Colts songs the rest of the year. Like, I may have to become a Colts fan if Philip Rivers steps in. Yay! There we go. After that much time away. What's the longest a quarterback has been quote unquote retired in the NFL, or a player? I mean, there's no way it's been anything this long.
Five years is a long time in the NFL.
Nothing comes to mind for me. I mean, Flacco was like that year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
what was this? He was on his... AI says Jeff George. How long was that?
Okay, yeah, that does ring a bell. But there's no way it was 5 years, right?
It says five seasons, 99 to 2004. I'd have to double check. It was just a quick one.
So he was out from 99 to 2004, then he came back?
I don't know. I have to look. It says he sat out for roughly five seasons. After playing in 2001, he came back for the Raiders in 2006.
Okay.
I mean, according to.
It doesn't look like he actually played a game in 2006, so there is that.
Well, but also, he was still in the league, though. He was with the Redskins, and he was with the Seahawks in 02.
Okay.
Then he was a year off. Then he was with the Bears in 04, then another year. So he was still bouncing around the league.
Just wasn't playing.
Just wasn't playing. I mean, this is like on the ranch, you know.
Coaching kids, high school ball.
Coaching high school ball, grandfather, grandkids. Yeah. I mean, like,
AI is saying something about Tony Mandarich as an offensive lineman in the 90s. Okay. I don't know if you remember anything about that, Joe.
Well, I remember a lot about Tony Mandarich, who went to the Packers, took him instead of Barry Sanders.
Good call.
And yet still, they still like won a Super Bowl in the 90s, and the Lions still will never, ever win one.
Yeah, Mandarich stopped playing in 91, and he came back in 96 with the Colts. So that would probably be the closest example.
Okay, yeah, that's there you go.
But he was 25 in 91.
And also an offensive lineman, not a quarterback, yeah.
Yeah, one of the biggest busts of all time, and you know, there was the steroid stuff was going on back then. But, yeah, that's still different than this in terms of, I mean, I guess you could look at it different ways, right? You could look at it like, would it even be harder though for like a lineman to do that? I guess that's a, you know, that's a fair point. But like, just, I don't know. It's just wild to me. And I will be honest, I didn't realize that you said it earlier in the show that it had been that long with Rivers.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like it's, you know, like to me, like it has been that long. But,
I wonder why he,
because they've done this before and he said no thanks, right?
I guess. I mean, the Colts, since he's played, they've had the Carson Wentz experience, Matt Ryan. They drafted Anthony Richardson. It didn't work out with Anthony Richardson, and they signed Daniel Jones all since he's last played in the NFL. Like, yeah. It's pretty wild. And like, you know, first off, I hope it happens because I'm really interested to see it. Like, I would love to see Philip Rivers, after not playing for 5 years at the age of 44, get out there and play and see what it looks like. Is he not at least a little bit concerned about, you know, taking some hits at the age of 44 after not playing football for 5 years?
You would think so, right? I mean, you know, bones, I can tell you from experience, bones get a little brittle, you know, it gets a little tougher to, I would think, to take hits from those guys. Man, and just like all that goes into it. It's really interesting. I mean, I must say, I mean, you know, it would make the Colts, who to me were about to be relegated to just like, you know, well, nice run. Great job with the Sauce Gardner trade. You're screwed. No one wants to even watch you the rest of the year to, like, must-see TV if he's out there.
Who they have this week?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Let's see here. Seahawks. I mean,
whoever they have.
God.
Oh, so you basically, yeah, that's what you want.
If I'm Philip Rivers, I'm like, Seattle. Yeah.
I'm like, hey, guys, check with me after you play that Seahawks defense on the road.
Their next four games, they have the Seahawks, the Niners, the Jags again, and the Colts. Good grief.
Wait, the Jags and the last one?
The Jags and the Texans, sorry.
That's tough, man. Is Philip Rivers going to – how many wins can
he
Philip
make
Rivers
it
get you?
He wouldn't even make it through.
I don't know
through
he'd make it through.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't think he would.
I mean, those are having to really good defenses for the most part that they're playing.
Well, think about the pass rush with all of them.
Well, a little bit less so with San Francisco, but
yeah. Yeah, they're not what they were. But, yeah, Hines Allen, and then, yeah, enjoy the Texans at the end. Boy, this is not the time, Philip. This is just – it's just not the time, man. And, I mean, yeah, I guess, look, I get it. Like, he still probably gives you more chance than – so Riley Leonard's hurt. So who is starting against Seattle? Would they actually just start Philip Rivers, like, immediately?
I mean,
it's not even the same offense or anything when he was there. Not that he can't pick it up, but does that not seem just wild?
It does. Now, Diana Russini pointed this out, and I guess I was not aware of this at the time because why would I have been? But Shane Steichen was with the Chargers from 2014 to 2019 with Philip Rivers there. So there is some familiarity between Steichen and Rivers.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that probably helps some. But so if it's not him, and if Riley Leonard is hurt, who would they even start this?
I have no idea.
Colts fans?
They're saying, they're speculating they could try to poach Kyle McCord from someone's Eagles practice squad.
Okay.
So you're
they don't even have a practice squad. Anybody else?
I'm sure they do. I just have no idea who it is.
Yeah, man.
Brett Rippin.
Is it?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah, I might sign Philip Rivers too.
give it a shot, Phil. I mean, seriously, if he could win one of these games, if he's able to win any of those games, he should be in the MVP discussion at the end of the year.
Somebody said Billy Volek in talks with the Titans for a workout. You know, Billy Volek back out there.
There you go.
Adam Portland wondering if Dante Culpepper and Matt Hasselbeck aren't available.
Oh man!
A lot of people pointing out they should have reached out to Tannehill. I mean, we talked about Tannehill yesterday. Apparently, he has called it quits, according to an interview he did with a magazine last month. But I don't know. Maybe it was worth a call on the Tannehill.
Should they have done a better job of addressing backup once Richardson was out before the deadline, or is this just something you can't really foresee? Yeah. I guess.
I mean, I think that they like Riley Leonard. But how much they like him enough they think they think he could have started games and won any. I mean, I don't think he's that good, but I mean, that has to be part of it, right?
Yeah.
Indy Ben, let us know. Whenever things go bad for the Colts, we stop hearing from him.
Indy Ben just leaves. What's going on around here?
Yeah, come on. We're yeah. Help us out here with your Colts.
I mean, I will say, I'll have to turn on the game. Like, if Phillip Rivers is playing on Sunday against Seattle, I think I'm going to watch the Colts and the Seahawks on Sunday. I otherwise absolutely would not have.
No, I mean, they need to be flexed now to all possible prime times for the rest of the year. I mean, I guess the Niners game is Monday Night Football. So at least he gets an extra – yeah, he gets an extra – I mean, you know, that one is – it's like in the dome or, you know, whatever, in Lucas Oil, Monday Night Football – you know, can you find a way, Jonathan Taylor, and, you know, just Phillip, just make a few throws here and there? Like, that will be pretty amazing if he's the quarterback.
I just need him mic'd up the whole time. I need all sorts of mic'd up footage from Phillip Rivers.
Can they just forfeit this week? Can they just do that? Just forfeit this game. You know,
no, I need him to get out
against
there.
Against the Seahawks.
Need him to get out there. Give him a go out there.
Then I don't think we're going to get to see them one night. Amazing thing at home, because the Seahawks are – that's, you don't want to tangle with them right now, man.
Let's welcome in Dustin to the program on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dustin, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I just had a fun one to toss out there. I'm sure as a Titans fan, everyone can appreciate this as much as me, but why don't they look at giving Ryan Tannehill a call? He wouldn't be – that much different of a profile player than Daniel Jones, and I think he, you know, would plug right in nice with what they got going on over there. So,
thanks, Dustin. Appreciate it. Can you imagine if Tannehill did ultimately decide to come back? Like, he did say in that interview we referenced yesterday that he would never say never, but it sounded like he was kind of closing the door and that he's not been throwing for a while now, so it doesn't feel like he's coming back. But can you imagine if he did and it was with the Colts? If you're a Titans fan, it's like, oh, good, Tannehill's playing for the Colts.
Yeah. Well, then, you know, as a Titans fan, he's also going to light it up, you know, if he came back. No, I mean, I agree. Like, I would have tried really hard to get him. He's younger. It's less time away. And, yeah, I mean, he can actually run around, you know, and you can use his legs some.
Can you?
Whereas Tannehill?
I mean, he hadn't played in 2 years. I have no idea what he is right now.
Well, I mean, I guess, yeah. I mean, based on – but, again, that's 2 years of a guy who was mobile. This is 5 years of a guy who wasn't. I mean, he's going to make Jared Goff look like – speaking of Dante Culpepper, look like Dante Culpepper. I mean, my gosh.
615 Max protect every play. Take more of your thoughts on Phillip Rivers potentially joining the Indianapolis Colts. We will get back into the Titans as well. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Starting on Thursday between noon and 3, Chase and Big Joe will have your chance to win a $100 Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa gift card and qualify to win a $1,000 Genesis Diamonds gift card as well. It's the 12 days of Christmas on 102.5 The Game. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. People are loving this Phillip Rivers discussion. One texter, Derek from Nolensville, says, hey, I hear Jim Sorgi is going to be available sometime soon.
Ooh. Curtis Painter?
Yep.
Curtis Painter, anyone? Purdue legends?
Danny O. Dan Orlovsky. Colts quarterback. Could have given him a call.
I mean, he's probably younger than Rivers, right? They're pretty close.
Probably pretty close.
Probably. Yeah, right in that range. A lot of people calling for Tannehill. But, again, I mean,
Orlovsky's 42, by the way. He is younger than Rivers.
There you go. Yeah, I mean, Tannehill is, I guess, which we missed until Vingan found it. But he has said, no, thank you. So, I mean, it's
– I choose to believe he was sitting around at home one day. It was just like, good grief. There's a billion people in this house. I've got all these mouths to feed. I got to go back and play some football. This high school coaching just ain't going to get it done. I need a couple more game checks.
I like Ultra BMW's idea, which is Brady, so we don't have to hear his announcing anymore.
Jeez.
His announcing is not offensively bad, yeah, but it's still not especially insightful. I mean, it's still like, I know, you know, people think I go overboard on
Greg
Olson.
Here we go.
He's fine, but he's still way better than Brady.
Here we go.
Sorry.
Just talking about Phillip Rivers, and you took the chance to just rip Brady.
Well, I didn't bring him up. Ultra brought him up. Actually, though, Brady has said, by the way, in all seriousness, he has said that, right, that if there was a team that was really in need and it like had a chance to do something, that he would not completely close the door. Didn't he say that?
I don't know, because I feel like if he said that, somebody would have taken him up on that by now. I don't know. Like, just look, far be it for me to doubt Tom Brady. Joe does that enough for the both of us. He is 48. I mean, he's 4 years older than Rivers.
Yeah.
At some point, that probably matters, I would assume.
You would think, yeah. But, you know, I mean, the Botox, I don't know if Botox helps you, like, quarterback at all or anything. But, I mean, certainly no shortage of that coursing through his veins.
I mean, so look, maybe at the end of the day, it's a workout. You know, I don't put a whole lot of stock into, like, Jeremy Fowler. It's like, he threw the ball well. And it's like, okay, well, it's a workout, okay? So do the Colts actually decide to sign him? That's going to be the thing. I mean, are they that desperate with what they've just done? And, look, the Sauce Gardner trade is kind of looming large right now, right? Because you thought you were well on your way to maybe challenging for the one seed in the AFC, and it's not worked out that way. And, look, Daniel Jones got hurt with the Achilles. He's probably going to be out into next year too, maybe, just depending on how it goes. So what do you do at quarterback? Like, I think if you'd asked Colts fans or asked the Colts front office 3 weeks ago, Joe, they probably were going to sign Daniel Jones to a long-term deal. Or are they still going to? I mean, you're coming off a Achilles. He played really well, but then he got hurt. So what do you do on the Daniel Jones front now?
No, it's amazing how different things look. And, again, I still had – some doubts. I think we all did. Like, okay, is this Daniel? Like, is this really what he's going to be long term? If so, it's an incredible find. But now, I mean, a big part of his game is, of course, running the ball, you know, and having that threat. Not saying that an Achilles takes that out entirely, but I mean.
And didn't we see, though? Like, Rodgers kind of struggled the first year after the Achilles. Kirk Cousins, for sure. Struggled the first year after the Achilles. Like, I know those guys were older than Daniel Jones is, but, you know, could be bad.
Well, yeah, and the Achilles, you know, the surgery, like, there's a faster recovery time and everything, which is great, but I still think that there's – it doesn't seem like it's a – it takes away that the way past recovery. I mean, I've covered guys in college basketball, it's like the whole next year, it's just not the same. And it may never get back all the way to the same. And those guys, unlike him, you know, yeah, Rodgers could run around and stuff, but those guys aren't as reliant on that threat as he is.
Yeah, what's this offseason of recovery look like for Daniel Jones? One leg, you have a broken fibula.
Yeah.
The other leg,
that sucks.
You have a busted Achilles. You're like, I don't know.
Just immobile.
How do you go for rehab from this? Yeah. This sounds not fun at all.
Like a full body cast. Everybody can just see, like, his mouth and ask for food. And he's just sitting there for months.
Well, and I guess it's easy to say now in hindsight because we know what just happened. But, you know, how much regret is there, if any, of letting him play through the broken fibula, right? Like,
yeah,
clearly
absolutely. There's
some compensation there that ends up with the Achilles.
Yeah, and of course that's easy to second guess. But again, like this is a problem with, and again, it's not their fault that Richardson got hurt. But to Ian's point earlier, maybe they should have done something else. I mean, it's pretty amazing. I don't even know what is Riley Leonard's injury. I don't even know.
It's a knee.
But it is pretty amazing that like all of these guys would be hurt, right?
Oh yeah, so. I mean, he's a knee. Technically, I guess he could play. On Sunday, we'll see, but he's hurt at the moment, and there's a right knee injury, and it's unclear if he's going to be able to get out there this week or not.
And there's a guy who, if anybody watched him play in college, if he doesn't have the run threat, my goodness, he should not be on the field.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing you could do with him when healthy, and you probably would, like, I mean, they might go to the freaking wing T with him at quarterback, you know. But if he can't move, then, well, this is why we're talking about Phillip Rivers. I mean, now it's like it's going to be a big disappointment if it doesn't happen.
I know. Let's head back to our phone line. Welcome in Adam in Portland to the program. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
So I don't think you're going to like my pick. And Joe, I already know because you like to hate on a lot of the things I say, but don't hate this immediately. Yeah, all the time. Don't hate this immediately. What about Andrew Luck? It ended so poorly, and I'm sure the fans and Andrew Luck hated how it ended. He's had 7 years to rest up back. Be like, hey, dude, give me like 5 games. That's it. If we ever run, cool. We don't ever have to talk about it again, and it makes everybody happy. You know, I don't know.
I love it. I love your idea, just like a lot of your ideas. I'm not an Adam hater. No, I agree. If I'm Carly Ursay Gordon,
get
I'm
on
like,
the headset. Hey,
I'm like, well, what I'm doing is I'm getting on the headset in my office. I'm saying, look, man, I'm gonna give you guys how about $30 million in NIL money for Stanford next year if you come out and just see if you can.
Is that legal?
Let's. Yeah, sure, whatever.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you were getting these teams
were
getting
the Stanford
NIL
Colts
NIL money for winning these basketball tournaments. I thought that was crazy.
That's
no,
true. That's true.
Yeah, just I mean, whatever. Like here's $100 million. For your athletic department, do it whatever you want with it. You come out here, let's make one run. You be the all-time legend. Win a Super Bowl, then hang it right back up. We will do all we can so you don't get hurt.
The problem
is, it'd be the most amazing story in sports.
I mean, look, I'd love to see that too. The problem is, I don't know if you've seen Andrew Luck lately. I think his playing weight was at about 235. It looks like he's at about 160 right now. Like he's lost a ton of weight.
Yeah. I bet you can still spin it, though, man.
I bet he can.
I bet you can still spin it. I mean, seriously. I Adam, it's a great idea, just like many of your ideas. I love it. I mean, they must have tried, right? They must have tried.
I mean, they've talked about this before. I think throughout the years they've tried to get him back like 50 times, and it's always been no. So,
but that's the key now. He's in charge of Stanford. His whole life is trying to turn around Stanford football. I'm not sure the coaching hire you made was a good one. We'll see. But like that, there you go. Like Andrew, like we will do all we can to help you financially with Stanford football in the future if you give us 6 weeks. I mean, do it. Try
it. It's worth a shot. It's worth a phone call.
This is a great. When you're a billionaire, you can do stuff like that.
615-737-1025. Our phone number 615-737-1025. Join Chase and Big Joe today from noon to 3 at Duncan, located at 926 Gallatin Avenue in Nashville. Stop by with a stuffed toy. Donate it to a child this holiday season. 1025 The Game teaming up with Nashville Children's Alliance to give all these awesome stuffed toys donated by you. Just for stopping by, you'll also be qualified for a pour pack of tickets to the all-inclusive 501 Club at Bridgestone Arena to a Preds home game. Special shout-out to the Metro Nashville Police Department, the Catalano Group, the Bluemont Group, Family Leisure, Thompson Machinery, Richmar Florist, Right Time HVAC, and Readyline for this and their help on this as well. For more information, a list of Duncan locations that you can donate a stuffed toy, all you got to do, visit thegamenashville.com/toy. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, I got a bone to pick with PFF, okay?
Okay.
Glennon put this out there yesterday, as he's known to do. The PFF grades from Sunday's performance for the Titans against the Browns. The Mandor, a 45.2 in run blocking. A 23 in pass blocking, 2 pressures, 0
wow.
sacks. What does a guy got to do to get a higher grade from PFF against Myles Garrett? Huh?
Well, I will
the Titans
say,
every one of the Titans' offensive linemen should get a 99 from what they did on Sunday, just by keeping their quarterback alive.
Or is Mike McCoy just that much of a genius for out-scheming Jim Schwartz?
Maybe so. I will say
I was interested.
The people who want Jim Schwartz as a head coach. I did take note of that on Sunday. I was like, Titans offense making this Jim Schwartz-led defense look pretty bad.
Yeah, yeah, of all people. I did wonder because, like, I can't remember a play where I thought, like, I can't remember a play. And, of course, like, no one ever singles Myles Garrett anyway, right? Like, unless, you know, whatever, unless you like the play, you're rolling to the other side or whatever. I can't remember a play where I thought, like, I remember Dan Moore actually blocking him. You know what I mean? Like obviously.
They did a lot of chipping.
Yeah, yeah. They did chipping, doubling, whatever. But it's, like, but at the same time, it's like, so what did he do? Like, how do you come to that grade? This is another great example of why these game grades are so stupid. And I just still also, Sunday Night Football, I hate so much the player intros, and they tell you, you know, PFF, he's ranked 33rd out of 111 at his position. It's like, I understand that Chris Collinsworth owns the freaking thing, but, like, please can we get rid of that?
I mean, the Mandor was reinforced steel on Sunday, and here we are talking about a 23 pass blocking grade. That's disrespectful. I'm sorry.
I don't know, man. All I know is if you're him, you can say Myles Garrett had one pressure. That's all I know.
Yeah.
I'm the left tackle.
Great.
Myles
that.
Garrett had one pressure. Yeah. Well, I'd love to know what the Titans, like, what is the Titans grade for him, you know?
Yeah.
Why can't we see how the teams, as I've definitely heard, like, the whole, like, if you compare, you know, like, team grades to, like, what PFF does, you'd find, like, they basically laugh at the PFF people.
By the way, Latham, a 63.8 in the run, 79 in the pass.
Wow.
One pressure, one sack.
Okay. So he got credit for giving up the one Myles Garrett sack? Was that was technically on him?
Apparently.
Yeah, okay. And yet he was miles beyond Mandor in pass blocking
yeah.
of the day.
Disrespectful.
I don't know.
By the way, Jeffrey Simmons credited with 10 pressures in the game. 10.
Yeah, which is, I think, a career high, which is a ridiculous number.
Yeah, especially for, you know, an interior defensive lineman. There is that. Good stuff from Simmons.
Simmons is having an incredible year, man.
He got called for that offside and then almost, like, went on a mission there for a few plays.
I mean, he should be an all-pro this year, right? And I don't know if, like, is he going to be because he plays for the Tennessee Titans right now? I have no idea. But he should be an all-pro.
Yeah. No, he's a good example of, like, it is possible, even on a terrible team with a, you know, bad, although I would argue overachieving, defense, it's still possible for a player to be, like, at the highest level. I think he's the best tackle in the league, and I never thought we would say that again about him in this league after the last couple of years.
I mean, Joe Thomas was on those bad Browns teams forever. That guy was all pro year after year.
Yeah, I do think sometimes with offensive linemen especially, it just becomes like, Joe Thomas, right? Like, he's the – I'm not saying he wasn't great. He was great, but sometimes I feel like it just gets into, like, who do we know? Okay, yeah, we'll go with that guy. You know, Simmons should be an all-pro, and obviously what you hope if you're the Titans is that this is the start of him kind of doing the same things and still being a great player when you – hopefully get yourself back to, you know, being a remotely competitive football team.
Is this the first time all year we've talked about PFF grades in the aftermath of a game? We haven't done it very much.
Not much.
Not been a whole lot of PFF grades to look at, frankly.
The first, but few and far between,
I think. Few and far between.
Yeah, which is good. But yeah, I mean, I appreciate Glennon tweeting it out. I do.
It's very detailed.
I appreciate Glennon tweeting it out. I appreciate that he was able to summon the strength to do that even after his Virginia Cavaliers completely screwed the pooch and lost a freaking Duke so that they can play in the I don't know what crappy bowl game they're playing in.
Is Philip Rivers an Indianapolis Colt by the end of the day today, Joe Rexrod?
For the sake of all of us, I hope so.
I say yes. I say he gets it done. And he better be playing on Sunday against the Seahawks. Welcome back to the league, Philip.
Like, I think that actually might be like elder abuse if they play him against the Seahawks on Sunday.
Just get the ball out quickly.
I mean,
he needs to go study game tape from the Titans against the Browns this last week and say, let's do that.
Yeah, call a lot. Yeah, Jonathan Taylor, how does 53 carries sound to you?
Against the Seattle team that you can't run the ball on. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, yeah, just that's yeah, it's true. You won't have 53 carries. It'll be three and out over and over again. No, I hope so. I mean, it would be really an amazing story. And the Colts have got to. They got to try, right? They got to try whatever they can. At this point,
we'll be back tomorrow morning for the Predators post game show. We're in the immediate aftermath of the game ending. Preds game starts tonight. I believe at 8:30 is the official time. I think the puck drop's going to be around 8:50. So. I'll see you guys on about 1 hour of sleep tomorrow morning. Sound good?
Get a nap.
See how it goes. That does it for us today. Next man up with Jake Lyman coming up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.